One year after Donald Trump's election, journalists are still trying to find their way with how to cover such an unconventional president. To find out what voters think of Trump, NPR's national political correspondent Don Gagne likes to use the oldest trick in the book, a conversation at their kitchen table. Gagne was the featured speaker Friday at GLT's Radio Faces. He told GLT's Ryan Denham that he spends 100 nights a year on the road, and he's learned a lot in the past year.
You have to talk to people. You really have to talk to people, and there is no substitute for that. It's funny. Every place I go, I drop into towns. As long as I've been doing this, I still drop into towns I have never been there before. And you're always on deadline as soon as you get there. You're just on deadline. So maybe it's a leisurely deadline, and if it's Monday, I don't have to file until Wednesday afternoon or something. But between that moment and the deadline, you have to get everything you need for a story that somehow captures this place. So I've learned that every place has its treasures. Every place has things that they're proud of. And if you find out what they are and go see them, you bump into people who tell you about other people, who tell you where you should eat lunch. And when you're at the diner, there are people to talk to, and then you can maybe convince people to, geez, how about if I stop over your house tonight, you know? So you're always kind of getting to know the place and getting to know the people, and it's not easy. It's just doing the work and walking around and, you know, getting those little pieces one at a time. But if you do that, ultimately, you can write your story with a lot more confidence, and you feel like you've been there, which is the other thing. You don't want to wake up and go, where am I? What is this place? If I've done that kind of groundwork while I'm there, I always know where I am, and I actually think that's pretty important.
What are some things that you have done to kind of put this presidency into context? I think that it's sort of, at times, it seems like it kind of begs us for hyperbole, right? Or this is the most unprecedented thing since blank, or this has never been done before, things like that. What are some things that you do to try to ground your reporting and keep it in context?
You know, and sometimes the hyperbole is what you use, because it's accurate, and then it's kind of, exceeded or surpassed by something that happens next week. The pace of news and the pace of unusual things that we've just never seen a president or a White House do before is pretty relentless. It just is. And sometimes it's big stuff. Sometimes it's his Twitter feed. Sometimes it's, it's how he insults people in his own party or attacks his predecessors in ways that presidents don't usually do that. I think the key is that you don't just put all that aside and say, "Oh, that's just the way it is now. We're not going to worry about that." That is a big part of the story, and you have to cover that. You have to cover the tweets, for example, and everything else. But you also cover it in the context of how it's playing out in the world, and how it's playing in the legislature, and what results it is ultimately leading to. So as long as you have these standards to measure it by, it's okay to call it unprecedented. It's okay to call it something we've never seen before, never heard before. But you always kind of want to make sure that your coverage broadly provides that context. And the thing we didn't really talk about is we're doing it while we're being attacked as reporters. And I mean, we could talk about that at great length, but basically what I say is, you know, it's like you can't take the bait, you can't take it personal, and you just got a job to do. You just have a job to do, and you make sure you got your facts straight, and you make sure your story's buttoned down. So if somebody comes at you because of your story, you're able to defend it.
Have you noticed any change in the way that people react to you when you come up to them and say you're a member of the media or with NPR as you've gone out and talked to people?
It might be a little bit more hostile in some Republican circles, among those hardcore Trump supporters. But I always find that if I work it, I can find people who are going to be happy to talk to me, happy to let me to come into their home, and happy to explain to me why they think the way they think about him or this issue or that issue. But you go to a Trump rally, and the onslaught against reporters is, like nothing I've ever seen before. There we go. More hyperbole, right? People complaining about us and saying nasty things about us is certainly nothing new, and I've been at this a long time. So I've heard plenty of groups vilify us even before this president came along. So.
What is your take on what we saw a few days ago in Virginia, New Jersey, and the election on November 7th? What are some things that you saw there that are maybe noteworthy moving forward?
Well, it was a great day for Democrats. There's no two ways about it. And, yes, it was New Jersey, a traditionally blue state, and Chris Christie, the governor there, is immensely unpopular. So no shock the Democrat won there. Virginia, yes, it's been trending blue. Hillary Clinton carried the state, but Republicans really felt they had a shot, and they had a well-funded candidate who had taken a lot of plays out of the Trump playbook. And not only did he lose, it was a much bigger Democratic win than anybody was ready to predict or even imagine. Then you look at the Virginia State House, which went from being overwhelmingly Republican, and now a handful of recounts over the next couple of weeks will determine who has control. And it could be the Democrats. It could be the Democrats. So it was an important day for Democrats, and it at least signals that like Democrats have had trouble in the past and in the last election, Trump can have trouble holding his, group or coalition or voters together. And it felt like that for the first year of his presidency and since the last election, that all of the usual rules didn't apply because of the way he won and the things he was able to say and do and still win. And suddenly it felt like some of the traditional ways of winning campaigns kind of reasserted themselves. Now, how long will it last? What does it mean? I'm not going to make any prediction, but it's at least a really good sign for Democrats going into 2018.
Well, tonight is obviously about public radio to a large degree. I want to ask you one question about your time at NPR. I learned today that you started your career at Detroit Public Radio,
yes,
reporting on labor unions, automakers, and all that. Can you talk about your time at NPR and why it's been such a good fit for you, your personality, the things you're curious about, the way you operate? You've stayed there for so long and had such success.
It really has become home. And I was a hardcore NPR listener before I ever worked for NPR. I did a stint in commercial radio, and I listened to tapes of NPR that I made to kind of learn how to be a journalist and how to craft a story and all that. And I'd been listening, years before that when I was in college. So it was the place I always wanted to work. I just didn't know I'd get a chance to work there. And, once I got there, I didn't know how long I'd be in the business. And I have now worked for public radio more than 30 years, which is kind of mind-boggling to me, certainly, and maybe to others as well. And it has just always been a place that has let me grow, that has let me tell stories in a, in a non-sensational, thoughtful, in a way that you don't get in other broadcast medium. And it's just been a very satisfying and a very rewarding place. And NPR was a lot smaller when I started, so as I've grown up, it's grown as well. So it's always been a place where I've found new challenges and new adventures, and what more can you ask for?
NPR national political correspondent Don Gagne speaking with GLT's Ryan Denham Friday during GLT's Radio Faces event at the DoubleTree in Bloomington. See photos from the event at our website, WGLT.org. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.